So, Sean, give us a little bit of a sense of this book idea, where it first, the concept first came out.
The concept first came out back during the pandemic. It was about February 2021, I guess. And a friend of mine from Facebook posted a story about one of his first and most beloved guitars. And it was just a little short thing where he kind of waxed poetic about it. And I thought, you know what? What a great story. I was really captivated by it. And it was nice and short and really, you know, punchy and meaningful. I thought, I have that story, and there are lots of other guitar players who have that story. I wonder if anybody has ever written a book that would encapsulate stories like that. And I Googled it, Six Ways to Sunday, and it turned out that nobody had. And I thought, geez, you know what? I might be onto something here. So I got in touch with Liam and I said, do you mind if I take this ball and kind of run with it? And he's like, hey, listen, great idea. Go for it. So I did. And that's really where it sort of started, right in the depths of the pandemic.
Wow. And how long did it take you to kind of put the book together and write it to a point now where it's out?
Little over 2 years it took, you know, fits and starts. It took some time to gather up these stories. Some people wrote them themselves and furnished them. Others were done through interviews. And then, you know, the way the book is set up is there's sort of a narrative that ties it all together, where I'm talking about my experiences growing up with a musician father. And then obviously I started as well at AM58 way back. Oh man, like 1988. Then my experience as a musician, sort of a budding musician, how and when I picked up my first guitar, people that I've known, that kind of thing. So, you know, I hope people find that part of it interesting because it really ties all the stories together. There are about 280 stories, the idea being that they're nice little short vignettes, you know, like they're about 180 to 300 words. So only, you know, a couple of short paragraphs, which makes for easy reading as people are going through the book.
And you've got some pretty famous people, don't you? You got talking about in there as well.
Yeah. Well, this is sort of the surprising thing, Dennis. What happened was I started out with people that I knew, right? I've been playing here in Sudbury for a long time, written, you know, a few albums of my own. So I've hung out with people in studios and on stages and made a lot of friends through my radio years here in Sudbury as well. So initially it was just going to be sort of like a local book with a little smattering of people who were a little bit more famous that I happened to know. But then Tom Wilson, who some people will know from Junkhouse, or from Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, suggested that I call his manager to, you know, set up an interview with Tom. Tom had agreed to be in the book, and he was by far the biggest name that I had at that point. And his manager, Alan Moy, kind of said, well, you know, I can probably set you up with the other guys from Blackie, and how would you like to talk to the guys from 5440? And you know, I thought, oh, yeah, I would really like to do that. And then that's where the seed was planted that maybe I can, you know, get some other higher profile names for this book, just people whose stories I'd be interested in. And at the end of it all, I ended up talking to Gordon Lightfoot and Bruce Coburn, all the guys from the Tragically Hip, Serena Ryder, you know, some American singer-songwriters who I admire, like Pete Yorn and Hayes Carl. There are about 90 sort of higher profile, I guess, maybe recognizable names is a better way to put it, from Canadian and American and you know, UK perspectives. And those are intermingled with the balance being people who are up and coming, people like me who are, you know, singer-songwriters of no repute, really, and just people who are campfire players. But the cool thing about it is that the stories themselves are all really compelling. You know, you know, you're going to be interested in Gordon Lightfoot's story because it's Gordon Lightfoot. But you take a guy, a former cat person like Trevor Beauchamp, who, you know, basically plays for his family and around campfires and that kind of thing. But he's got a pretty cool guitar origin story too. So I wanted to make it sort of a democratic thing where you'd be flipping through this book and you'd be reading these stories and then you'd land on one that, oh, geez, yeah, I know who Bruce Coburn is. But then you'd go through a few other stories and realize, hey, those people have some pretty cool stories themselves.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you ever think you'd be writing a book when you were living back in camp?
Certainly not when I was living back in camp, and not even, no, the short answer is no. Listen, what I do for a living in communications and public relations and that kind of thing is basically write. You know, I write corporate material and creative material, but, and songs, obviously, but I'd never even considered writing a book until this happened. And now I have.
What was the hardest part putting it together?
Well, I mean, I guess the hardest part was sort of organizing the stories and staying on top of people, you know, to make sure that they submitted things once they had committed to doing so. And there was the narrative that I had to write in between. I wanted it to make sense. I wanted it to flow. I wanted it to be interesting to people because, you know, I mean, who's Sean Barrett and why should they care? But I guess every author who's written something like this probably thought the same thing. And, you know, in the end, I think that this is this really, it's a feel-good kind of cohesive, interesting read because a lot of the stories were written by the players themselves. There's a lot of different points of view and styles, so that keeps it kind of fresh and flowing. And that's really what I wanted to do. I didn't want, you know, 280 stories that all sounded the same. And that was sort of something I had to work through too. The concept evolved a little bit from right off the bat because if it was only ever first guitars, like the first guitar they touched, there would be a lot of, yeah, I had this crappy guitar from Sears and I picked it up and I played it. So it ended up evolving into sort of the first important guitar that they had. And sometimes that was the very first one. Sometimes it was a guitar that came a little bit later that maybe accompanied them on tours or their first recording or the one that they really fell in love with and kind of went, yep, you know what? This is definitely for me. I'm a guitar player now.
Talk about the local connection to this. Of course, you grew up with a very musically big family, but also your musical influences in camp and how they kind of affected you with this book.
Well, first there was my dad. People will probably remember Guy Barrett from, you know, way back in his youth. You know, he had a number of bands that played around locally, and then he was in a band called Sabotage. So, you know, I think a lot of people will remember Sabotage. They were kind of the dance and party band in the, you know, sort of late 70s, early 80s. I think it was around that era. You know, I ended up talking to Flo Rulo, who played in that band, who was a, you know, magnificent guitar player. My dad obviously has a guitar story, and that kind of ties into Gordon Lightfoot a little bit. Curtis Edwards, who's a guy who plays around town with regularity, is also in the book. I mentioned Trevor Beauchamp, who's, you know, formerly from Cap. Butch Boucher is in the book, and a lot of people also know Butch from his guitar playing days. So, you know, there's definitely that Capascasing tie-in that exists. And, you know, there was a lot of formative experiences that I had. Obviously, starting in radio, in Capascasing was where I first started to be exposed to a lot of different artists from outside of the town. But there was also groups like Nothing in the Crib, who, you know, I got to see, you know, a few times when I was younger. That worked for me. Had my first concert in Capascasing at the KDHS Auditorium. It was the Good Brothers, and I have both Bruce and Brian Good in there. So that's like obviously a huge formative memory, but it goes back to when I was 5 or 6 and fell asleep in the front row. They thought that was pretty funny. So, you know, I got to meet them at that age. And these are all formative experiences that all happened. And probably, well, I mean, they'd have happened somewhere, but they happened for me in my hometown.
Tell me now, how can people get a copy of the book?
Right now it's available for pre-sale. If people go to kickstarter.com, they will find me if they search on Sean Barrett, or if they search on Heartstrings First Guitars. And this is an opportunity for them to pre-order the book, which is helpful to me because there's a lot of expenses involved in this kind of thing. What it means to people who support that campaign is that they'll get their copies a little bit earlier than anybody else does and get to crack them open sooner. So that's going on right now. The book itself will be published early August. I'm shooting for August 1st to have it on Amazon and you know, to have print copies and to have it available to sort of the mass audience. But right now, if people want to jump on board with this Kickstarter, which would be awesome, there's other merch as well. You know, there's Heartstrings t-shirts and guitar picks and stickers and that kind of thing. So it's a bit of an opportunity to not only, you know, support me as the author and, you know, help get it out there, but also to get some cool little extras. And like I said, have it in their hands, maybe, you know, a few weeks or a month before anybody else is able to look at it.
Wonderful. Anything else, Sean, you want to mention or add?
You know, I think what I really do want to mention is how wonderful the support has been. It's been great. A lot of people love the concept. They love the idea. I think that even for a music fan, it's going to be super interesting. You know, you don't have to be a guitar player, but to be a music fan and find out how some of your favorite artists came to be who they are, you know, the guitar that made them a guitar player is interesting. And I hope maybe my story and some of the other ones, you know, that involve people picking up guitars a little bit later in life might inspire somebody who's always wanted to be just a strummer or a campfire player or whatever to go out, you know, pick up a guitar, go down to Spachex, talk to Curtis and get a guitar and learn how to play it. If I can do it, seriously, anybody can do it. And it's really rewarding. And maybe this book will help spark that.
Wonderful. Great job.